You're listening to The God Show on News Radio 620, KTAR.
Patrick Mann, once again, speaking with J.R. Brown, we welcome you all to a kind of a unique God Show this Sunday as we look into the practices and the background of a religion that we often talk about and often do so with little knowledge unless we happen to be a member of the Jehovah's Witnesses. How big a religion is it by way of numbers, J.R. Brown, national spokesperson out of Brooklyn, New York?
Well, numerically, we are an international organization. Our current practicing members worldwide, 6,117,666. But, Pat, as I mentioned earlier, important to us is that you are active. You are a witness. If you discontinue that, then we are not like other organizations who continue to count you as a member.
So I have to be a real participant.
Right. That's what a Jehovah's Witness is. A witness actually gives testimony. So we're not seeking to have an impressive number, but we're seeking to do a work that we feel is a God-assigned work.
If I want to become a Jehovah's Witness, is there a series of instructional classes that I have to go to? Is there a ritual? Is there a baptism?
Well, first of all, we would feel it appropriate that you make a study of the Bible, because it's not a matter of saying, I want to become a Jehovah's Witness. You have to show you have the knowledge and the proper motivation to carry out this particular work. So what we would do first is put you through a study course. It's sort of a one-on-one course. You could have the whole family involved. We enjoy teaching the whole family together. After a period of instruction, say 6 months to a year, maybe you're ready to decide if this is what you want to do. It's totally up to you, but if it is your decision to do so, then we sort of advance the training. We give you some instruction how to do evangelizing work by taking you along. You notice we're always in twos. When
yes.
You approach the door,
mm-hmm.
Often one is training and the other you have there is a trainee.
I thought it was a security factor that involved the fact that perhaps no scandal then could be associated with a member of the church.
It does provide security, but it's also a biblical pattern. Recall when Jesus sent his disciples out, first the 12 and then the 70, the Bible says he sent them out in two. So security is factored in, but at the same time, it gives support for the work. And going back to how you originally presented the question, if it is your desire then that you want to dedicate your life to God, not to an organization, but to Jehovah God, then you do that. And if you qualify, then we will submit you for the baptism ceremony.
Here's the simple question that probably has a complex answer, but I'm going to ask you for the short paragraph version.
Okay.
If you are a Jehovah's Witness, who are you?
Okay, say that once more.
I said, if you are a Jehovah's Witness, if you are an active member, then who are you? Describe being a Jehovah's Witness, faithful and participating, to someone who has no knowledge of the faith.
Okay, if you are one of Jehovah's Witnesses, it basically is a lifestyle. First in your life is doing God's work. And as we talked about a little earlier, it's evangelizing. In order to do that, then you have to continue to read and study the Bible. We have meetings that will keep you abreast with the best way to carry out the evangelizing work, and you live a good, clean, moral life, willing to share what you know everywhere you go in your daily life.
Sounds like every religion I know.
Well, in other words, it is the ideal standard as presented in the Bible. But, of course, we know it's one thing to make a claim. It's another, really, to live up to it.
Where did you come from? Who was the first Jehovah's Witness?
Well, if you want to look at it from our theological viewpoint, we would go all the way back to Abel, the faithful son of Adam. Why? Because the book of Genesis tells us he was a witness. If you go through the Hebrew prophets, all of them gave a witness. With the coming of Jesus Christ, he trained others as Christians. They went out giving a witness. If you come to more modern times, then you would come toward the 1870s, and a small Bible study group under the direction of Charles Taze Russell was started out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. And
how long ago?
1870.
Mm-hmm.
And at that particular time, this Bible study group was started to try to take a look at the Bible in its pure teachings to see what restoration of true worship had to be done. And one important thing that came out of that was something we alluded to earlier, and that's the fact that if you are a Christian, then you are to be an evangelizer. The idea of separating clergy and laity was not really something that the first Christians did, who were instructed under Jesus Christ and the apostles. They taught everyone.
Do you have a clergy? Do you have appointed teachers?
We have appointed teachers. The Bible speaks of them as elders or overseers, and they give instruction in the congregational setting. But you've noticed when you're approached at your door or in another place, it could be a man or a woman, a teenager, even a youngster. And they're able, to the best of their ability, to present this message. So we do not discriminate there. Whoever has the desire and wants to serve God in this way by giving testimony to his belief, then we equip them to the best of their ability to do so.
Why is it important for Jehovah's Witnesses to express themselves politically within what you call neutrality, and what exactly do you mean by that?
Our view of neutrality is based on really the words of Jesus Christ. He spoke of his followers and himself as being separate from the world. Now, to clarify that, that does not mean we're better or more worthy. Why? Because he also said that God loved the world, that is mankind, so much that he gave his only begotten son. But we feel separate as far as being set apart to do this particular work, evangelizing, to live a moral life in harmony with what the Bible says, and to show love and concern for our neighbor. Because when we go out evangelizing, we're motivated by love. I think you realize that most persons do, there's no pay or financial consideration. But we feel, as a loving gesture toward our neighbors, we need to share with them something good that we have.
Now, does that neutrality within the definition of the Jehovah's Witness Church, does that mean that there are no Jehovah's Witness office holders?
We're separate from the political world, and there's strong scriptural support. You recall they at an occasion wanted to even make Jesus a king, and he withdrew because he didn't see that as his role. So we feel expressing ourselves politically is not our aim. Our aim is to preach good news about God's kingdom. And so that's where we're focused. Why? Because we feel that that will answer everybody's problem as far as government and rulership. That's the prayer Christians pray for. They pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
And when we get back, I want to find out about the Jehovah's Witness position on other government service, like the military. I want to ask you medical questions. I want to talk about your positions on social issues. And we have so little time and so much to discuss about the Jehovah's Witnesses. All new information to me provided by J.R. Brown, national spokesperson for the Jehovah's Witnesses out of Brooklyn. This is The God Show on News Radio 620 KTAR. I'm Pat McMahon.